This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Staples.
I'm Linda Kenyon in Washington. Gunfire has erupted at a block party in Baltimore. Mayor Brandon Scott is at the scene.
This was the reckless, cowardly act that happened here and that has permanently altered many lives and cost two people their lives.
In addition to the two killings, 28 people were injured. Extreme heat warnings are in effect for most of California. KCBS-TV's Joy Benedict is in Valencia.
Here in the Santa Clarita Valley, many searching for shade, extra fluids, and also some cool treats. But when the temps reach triple digits, they're not just a nuisance, they can also be downright dangerous. So firefighters are putting out the warnings about fire conditions, reminding folks to clear the brush around their homes, just not in the heat of the day.
We went from having days where it was kind of foggy and a nice mild temperature, so now extreme heat, and so people just aren't used to drinking the water.
The Supreme Court last week ruled for a Christian graphic designer from Colorado who did not want to design wedding websites for gay couples. Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg reacted on CBS's Face the Nation.
There's no evidence that this business ever even did wedding websites until they got interested in this political controversy. And no evidence that they were ever approached by a same-sex couple. There's even some indications they may have set up this business just for the purpose of being able to turn away same-sex couples to make a political point.
Secretary Buttigieg and his husband Chasten are legally married. The Supreme Court has struck down the use of affirmative action in college admissions. On CBS, former Vice President Mike Pence was asked if racial inequality still exists in higher education.
There may have been a time when affirmative action was necessary, simply to open the doors of all of our schools and universities. But I think that time has passed, and we'll continue to move forward as a colorblind society.
Riots have continued in France following a police shooting death of a 17-year-old after a traffic stop. The BBC's Moira Alderson.
The grandmother of the French teenager whose killing by police has sparked five nights of unrest in France has appealed for calm. She told a French TV channel that she wanted all the rioting to stop. She said while she resented the officer who shot dead her grandson, it was not directed at other police.
Thousands of Twitter users say they cannot access the social media app.
Some users flagged issues that included being unable to retrieve tweets or the error message, "Sorry, you are rate limited." Elon Musk, who took over the platform last year, tweeted around 1 p.m. about post-reading limits to address extreme levels of data scraping and system manipulation. Yes, there is now a limit on scrolling and reading tweets. 10,000 posts for verified accounts, 1,000 for unverified accounts, and 500 for new unverified accounts daily.
CBS's Matt Piper. This is CBS News.
Staples stores provide innovative products and services for small business, remote workers and learners, even teachers and parents. Explore more at your local Staples store.
News is brought to you by Gingras Thompson and Wachs, a statewide team of personal injury lawyers getting you the justice you deserve. Call 855-954-1186 for a free consultation.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Small towns in Wisconsin stand to benefit from a $1 billion federal investment in high-speed internet announced this week. Mike Mohn reports.
The funding comes from the multi-year federal infrastructure law that was adopted in late 2021. Federal officials say more than 8 million households and small businesses in the U.S. are in areas where there's no high-speed internet infrastructure. In Wisconsin's Jefferson County, Deb Reinbold leads Thrive Economic Development and says it's welcome news for smaller towns.
It's a huge opportunity for the state. In today's interconnected world, broadband's not just a luxury, it's a lifeline, and especially for rural communities.
Reinbold says her area has seen progress thanks to separate grants in recent months, but she adds there are still some areas that need service, and there's hope the new funding will close remaining gaps. According to a statewide task force report, nearly 7% of Wisconsinites lack access to the FCC standard for download speed. And most of those residents are in rural areas. Reinbold, also a board member with the Wisconsin Rural Partners Group, says beyond helping rural residents and small businesses, the extra funding allows health providers in these communities to easily connect with patients.
Telehealth is also something that, you know, we're seeing such a significant investment in from our area medical clinics and hospitals. Honestly, the impact is very widespread.
Wisconsin's Public Service Commission will be in charge of distributing the grants. In a statement, it says it will ensure the funding goes to where it's needed as quickly as it can, while maintaining transparency and being stewards of taxpayer dollars. Mike Mohn, Wisconsin News Connection. Find our rate trust indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
And this is Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
The law firm of Gingras Thompson & Wachs has a track record of making life-changing, positive differences for their clients. $5.25 million to a woman who suffered brain injuries and her husband passed away when struck by a drunk driver. $1 million to three different individuals injured by drunk drivers. $1 million settlement to a man injured in a motorcycle accident. Call Gingras Thompson & Wachs, 855-954-1186.
Calling to win, Gingras Thompson & Wachs, GTWLawyers.com.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow, Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories. Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. 93.5 The Tap. 93.5 The Tap. 93.5 The Tap.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. Welcome to the state of Wisconsin Sense from the shores of Lake Wissota, the smoky, hazy shores of Lake Wissota once again. But still, it's a beautiful day up north. It's Tuesday, June 27th. 54 degrees here on the lake on our home base, 93.5 The Tap. It's 55 down in Waukesha for folks listening on the Shaw, 58 in La Crosse. Hayward coming in at 48 degrees. Here's what's on tap this morning. It appears the Wolves are out for Megan Wolf. Megan Wolf has run the Wisconsin Elections Commission office with top-notch professionalism, maintaining and defending our state's fair and accurate election system. So it's no wonder that Republicans are trying to remove her as administrator of the Wisconsin Elections Commission. We'll talk about that. Christina Laurie has The Uplift, our weekly review of stories from our daily newsletter. In our second hour, the people who make Dairy Month happen. We all know that June Dairy Month can't happen without the cows, but there's also a particular group of people associated with modern dairy farming in Wisconsin, and their efforts often go unheralded because they have to do all of their work in the legal shadows thanks to certain politicians. So we will recognize the importance of the immigrants who work with Wisconsin dairy farmers to keep those dairy farms in business. Along the way, if you'd like to reach us with a question or a comment, let's see, we've got a phone number here for the studio line. I'm just bringing it up for people watching on Facebook. 844-967-2789. And the email address is radio@upnorthnewswi.com. And as I mentioned, we are on a few different Facebook pages. And if you comment on one of those Facebook pages underneath the live video of our radio show, we will see it and may put that up on screen as well. As always, the reminder that Up North News is a separate entity from Civic Media, though we're so happy to be here on their stations across Wisconsin every weekday morning from 6 to 8. But you can find the work that we do at upnorthnewswi.com. from people like Sharita Booker and Christina Laurie. And Christina, as I said, will be joining us coming up at the bottom of the hour. Despite the smoke and the haze, it's still a perfect temperature morning. It was just the best sleeping weather down here, mostly Aaron Zommers down in Madison, because we've been able to keep the mosquitoes out. We had such a bumper crop of mosquitoes after the weekend rain. I mean, honestly, looking out at the backyard at some point on, I forget if it was Saturday or Sunday, it looked like a miniature version of Alfred Hitchcock's The Birds, but with little tiny mosquitoes instead. There were so many of them.
Yeah, I'm glad we live in America where malaria is not a thing.
Thank goodness. And I'm sure it made a lot of the birds happy. I mean, they're singing very nicely this morning. The cardinals are chirping away. The woodpeckers are doing their thing already here on the lake. But yeah, it's very hazy. I remember hearing yesterday, wasn't it hazy? It was much hazier by you yesterday, I believe, than it was up here. But for some reason, the smoke has definitely returned to the Northwoods too.
Yeah, it was hazy. I just wasn't sure if it was the smoke or if it was just super humid and gross, which it also was. So
it also was, and apparently the Milwaukee area was even worse. There were indications that it had some of the worst air quality around the world yesterday in terms of measuring it. And as you look at the map of smoke from the Canadian wildfires, the thing that I thought was so impressive is that it's being swept down here on the front end of a high pressure system, you know, so think of it as a buzzsaw and it's rotating clockwise. And so, yeah, it makes sense that it's being pulled down on the front end of this high pressure system. But I'm looking at the maps and it's saying that as the system moves over Wisconsin and out, as we're on the back end, that smoke that will move to the south of us is going to be kicked back up toward us from the south, which really tells you something. I thought maybe the smoke would dissipate by then, but that there's so much of it that we're going to get like relief tomorrow. And then a day or two later, we're going to get the smoke coming up from the south again. It's Canada's working so hard to burn it all to the ground. I don't know. It's like the climate might be changing or something. Maybe.
I don't know. That's a little far-fetched.
I know. Let's not get carried away here. We also have coming up in a bit here, the story about the Brewers, who are in New York now to take on the Mets. And we actually have our first crop report of the season. Well, ag report, I should say. We haven't harvested the crops yet, but they are trying to get out of the ground. They are trying to cope with what has been a decided lack of precipitation so far this spring. I mean, this weekend was great, but it doesn't make up the entire deficit. So we'll continue to watch that and see how farmers are doing. Hans Breitenmoser is going to be joining us at 7:30, and we will talk more about that. And in fact, while I've got the time right now, let me go ahead and tell you about that before the break, that the latest from the USDA's National Agriculture Statistics Service says that dry conditions continue to negatively impact crop growth. The second cutting of alfalfa is about 25% complete, 4 days ahead of last year. All hay condition was reported 40% good to excellent statewide. Here's that thing on the moisture of the soil. Topsoil 37% very short, 36% short, 27% adequate, and 0% surplus moisture out there. The corn condition is 42% good to excellent. That's down a bit from last week. And the soybean condition, 45% good to excellent. Again, down a little bit from last week. And we will get the full weatherology forecast coming up just about 1 hour from now. But we'll take this break. When we come back, we'll talk more about the Brewers and the Mets. We'll talk about Megan Wolf being in the crosshairs of Republicans. And get used to hearing about Bidenomics. That's coming up. You're up north.
When it comes to achieving successful jury verdicts and settlements, one law firm stands out above the rest. Gingras Thompson & Wachs, a $6.2 million settlement for a woman permanently paralyzed as a result of medical malpractice. $4.9 million to members of a family injured due to the negligence of a truck driver and his employer. Call Gingras Thompson & Wachs today, 855-954-1186.
If I could be you,
and you could be me, for just 1 hour.
If you could find a way
to get inside
each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the Lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
Hey there, Little Red Riding Hood. You sure are looking good. You're everything a big bad wolf could want.
Listen to me,
Little Red Riding Hood.
And Pat will be right with us.
I don't think little big girl should.
Who doesn't need a little Sam the Sham and the Pharaohs this morning? Sorry, I let that run a little longer than I should have. But the wolves are out for Megan Wolf, and we'll talk more about that story in just a bit. Tomorrow, Doug Null will join us to talk about an op-ed in the Cap Times about how Robin Voss has it backwards on the issue of diversity, equity, and inclusion programs in the University of Wisconsin system. He'll tell us about that in the 7 o'clock hour tomorrow. In sports, Joey Weimer hit a go-ahead two-run home run to straightaway center field in the sixth inning last night that lifted your first-place Milwaukee Brewers to a 2-1 road victory over the Mets. That's right, your first-place Milwaukee Brewers. The Reds lost again last night, putting the Brewers back on top of the NL Central. Now, the pitching really got it done last night. Starter Colin Ray is now 4-4. He retired his first eight batters for the Brewers and allowed only one run in 6 1/3 innings. Hobie Milner then got four outs. Elvis Peguero won. Devin Williams got three outs to complete the three-hitter. Devin Williams got his 14th save in 15 chances as the Brewer pitchers retired the final 11 Mets in order on just 34 pitches. And that 6 1/3 innings for Ray was his longest stint of the season. He spent most of the last 2 years pitching in Japan, trying to get back into the bigs. The Brewers offense needed all that pitching help because they didn't exactly light the place on fire. They stranded eight runners against Justin Verlander, who gave up five hits and struck out five while throwing 100 pitches. Then they'll do it again tonight and then Thursday as well. Wednesday and Thursday as well, all four games this week at 6 o'clock Central Time in the evening. You can hear those games in the Fox Valley on Oshkosh Air Support, 98.3 and 1100 AM. And news from the center in Richland Center, 107.7 and 1450 AM. If you don't have it yet, you can get the Civic Media app. Go to the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us, or wherever you get your apps and learn more about it. It's got all kinds of nice new improvements. You pick your hometown station or favorite station from there, and that'll come up every time you open up the app. And from the app, you can either call in to whatever show is on at the time, or you can send a text. For example, we came in and found a text this morning from a caller in Racine letting us know that Wisconsin was getting more than $1 billion from the Biden administration for broadband expansion, to which we know and which we're going to be telling you all about a little bit later on here in the program. But again, we appreciate anything related to, you know, news tips and comments and calls that you want to make. And of course, our studio line 844-967-2789. As I mentioned, the head of the Wisconsin Elections Commission, well, the, I guess I should say the administrator of the Elections Commission, Megan Wolf, is once again reminding folks of what she has done for the Elections Commission, the professionalism with which she has handled the job, and just as importantly or more so, continues to knock down the disinformation that's being spread about Wisconsin elections. And I choose that word carefully. I do say disinformation, not misinformation, because it's intentional at this point. These are intentional lies that people are telling to try to undermine confidence in elections for whatever reason, either to drive down voter turnout in the future by driving down voter confidence, or simply to smear other people when you don't have ideas of your own that can help you win elections. So Megan Wolf put all this in a letter to state legislators over the weekend, saying that she wanted to put all of this out because state lawmakers could have a vote this week that might determine her future as the state's top elections official. Molly Beck wrote all about this in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel the other day. And so despite Wolf running the Elections Commission with such professionalism, there is going to be a meeting, a vote perhaps this week about Wolf losing her job, as Republicans who control the state Senate have been signaling that they do not support confirming her to another term when her current term runs out at the end of this month. Republican lawmakers have been targeting Wolf because of her actions with the bipartisan panel of six commissioners. The Wisconsin Elections Commission is made up of three Democrats and three Republicans. She and they have been taking actions during the coronavirus pandemic to help people vote while avoiding crowds and contact with others. Now, Wolf was not a voting member in those decisions. These are, as she emphasized, the decisions made were made by the bipartisan Elections Commission, and then she carries them out. But of course, Republicans, some Republicans are trying to paint her as if somehow she is, you know, the boss of all of this, leading the commissioners on, and it's her ideas that are, you know, responsible for things that they don't like about elections. But that's not true. And that's not true. And Megan Wolf is making that note. Now, members of the Wisconsin Elections Commission are also going to be meeting today to discuss the matter, to find out, you know, what the Senate is going to do in terms of whether to vote to reappoint Megan Wolf. And if so, you know, what if she is voted down? And what will the election commissioners do? After all, their job is now complicated by a recent state Supreme Court decision involving Fred Prehn. Remember that guy? He sat on the state Natural Resources Board for well over a year past the expiration of his term. A Scott Walker appointee, Prehn decided he wasn't going to step down until the Senate confirmed Tony Evers' appointment. And the Senate Republicans said, well, we don't have to confirm Tony Evers' appointment. In fact, there's still plenty of Tony Evers' appointees they haven't confirmed yet because they won't do their job. And conservative justices on the state Supreme Court said, yeah, if the Senate doesn't confirm, then the person whose term expired can hang on to that post. Well, so what if the Wisconsin Elections Commission deadlocks 3-3 on any vote for some new appointee? Could Megan Wolf just say, well, you know what, I'm going to stay in this job, even if the state Senate, you know, doesn't appoint somebody. And even if they wanted to not reappoint me, I might just stay here. So the Republican politicians on the Wisconsin Supreme Court have really created a mess here by refusing to respect what terms of office are for state appointees. And this whole thing could lead to the Wisconsin Elections Commission perhaps not having, either having an interim leader or a dispute about who is the administrator of the commission at a time when the office has to start thinking about the 2024 elections. And certainly any drama here is going to, again, shake public confidence in Wisconsin elections unnecessarily, because Wisconsin elections are secure, they're safe, they're accurate, and by and large, that is because Megan Wolf and the bipartisan members of the Wisconsin Elections Commission have set it up that way, working alongside some 1,800 elections officials in cities, towns, villages, counties all across Wisconsin. We have perhaps the most decentralized election system in the country, which takes great professionalism on the part of all of these people to make it work. But it also means that no single entity controls the elections. And therefore, when people say, well, there's irregularities about Wisconsin elections. Really? Good luck. Good luck trying to get 1,800 people to take part in a conspiracy. It just doesn't work that way. And it's beyond insulting for people to continue to spread these lies simply because, you know, Donald Trump told them to. because he was trying to hold on to victory. He didn't. He lost to Joe Biden. And Joe Biden is making, you know, some waves now by a couple of victories of late. First, let's take a look at, remember that potential for a railroad strike and how President Biden talked all sides into, you know, basically just going back to work, continuing to negotiate. And a lot of people on the side of labor were not very happy about that, because one of the issues that hadn't been resolved was paid sick days. The railroads have been, to put it kindly, awful to their employees on the subject of paid sick days. And so a lot of people were upset that, you know, they felt that maybe this needed a strike to pressure the railroads into granting paid sick days. Well, it turns out the president was right, that after months of negotiations since the last time it was in the news, the railroad members at four of the largest U.S. freight carriers have announced that they are now getting paid sick days. It's a very big deal and a very big win. And again, talks about the power of negotiations and talking at the table, you know, rather than always having to have confrontation, which is something some labor folks wanted. But frankly, it's also something some of the railroads wanted, looking for any opportunity to look for replacement workers or things like that. And instead, you know, the president said, talk this out. They did. And the workers are going to be getting their paid sick days. In fact, it's just the latest example of how you're going to hear the word Bidenomics a lot more over the next year and a half or so, because you had yesterday's announcement that we'll talk more about later about the $1 billion expansion of broadband investment in Wisconsin, part of some $42 billion that's going to be invested all around the country into high-speed internet. That's going to benefit so many people, bring so many jobs to Wisconsin and elsewhere to lay all that fiber optic cable, get it connected, what have you. And it's all part of the bipartisan infrastructure law. The investments from the bipartisan infrastructure law, the investments from the Inflation Reduction Act, the investments from the American Rescue Plan, those three things were all part of what Biden referred to as Build Back Better when he was running for office originally in 2020. And in 2021 and early 2022, that legislative agenda passed. It certainly had its hiccups along the way. Thank you, Joe Manchin and Kristen Sinema. But what ultimately passed, while short of what the president wanted, because nobody gets everything they want in American politics, but what ultimately passed continues to reap dividends and will for years, especially in the area of infrastructure. And so no legislation of any significance is going to pass right now while there's split control of Congress. So when the president runs for re-election, he's going to be running on the things that are getting done from what's already been passed. And they're going to refer to it as Bidenomics, which is simply their term of grow through the middle class, that trickle-down economics and tax cuts for the very rich like Republicans in the legislature want to do. Doesn't work. It's never worked. What works is investing in people, investing in the middle class, investing in infrastructure. Let's take a break and we'll hear from Christina Lurie, my partner at Up North News. She writes our daily newsletter, and we'll have the Uplift, her segment, her weekly segment with us next. You're Up North.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. We are your hometown radio, refreshed.
CBS News Brief. A mass shooting at a block party in Baltimore early today has killed two people and injured 28. Acting Baltimore Police Commissioner Richard Worley says no one knows why.
We have members of our fire department, officer emergency management, as well as other jurisdictions working with us to try to determine a motive.
No arrests so far. Record-setting heat is blanketing much of the country, including in California, where this firefighter urges people to mind the temperatures.
So people are used to the heat, so they go out for a hike or for a run, realize that it's hotter than they're expecting, and then they just didn't have enough water on board.
More migrants were bused from Texas to Los Angeles yesterday, the second arrival in 3 weeks. Lauren Posen is with KCBS.
The bus with 41 migrants from Brownsville, Texas, include children. The migrants came from various countries, recently patrolled by the Border Patrol, including Colombia, El Salvador, Guatemala, and Mexico.
The governor of Texas suggests more busloads could follow. CBS News Brief. I'm Linda Kenyon.
News is brought to you by Gingras Thompson & Walks, a statewide team of personal injury lawyers getting you the justice you deserve. Call 855-954-1186 for a free consultation. The law firm of Gingras Thompson & Walks has a track record of making life-changing positive differences for their clients. $5.25 million to a woman who suffered brain injuries and her husband passed away when struck by a drunk driver. $1 million to three different individuals injured by drunk drivers. $1 million settlement to a man injured in a motorcycle accident. Call Gingras Thompson & Walks, 855-954-1186. 954-1186.
All in to win. Gingras Thompson and Fox. GTWLawyers.com.
One call can do it all. Your business's message can be broadcast across the entire state of Wisconsin through the Civic Media Network of stations, or we can focus the campaign in your hometown. We have the flexibility. You have the control. Civic Media, 608-819-8255.
When it comes to achieving successful jury verdicts and settlements, one law firm stands out above the rest. Gingras Thompson & Walks, a $6.2 million settlement for a woman permanently paralyzed as a result of medical malpractice. $4.9 million to members of a family injured due to the negligence of a truck driver and his employer. Call Gingras Thompson & Walks today. 855-954-1186.
All in to win. Gingras Thompson & Walks. GTWLawyers.com.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Don't let biased algorithms or degree screens or exclusive professional networks or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
The RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight.
The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
Now it's time for us to get into the exact numbers of the latest Marquette Law School poll. And to do that, of course, our friend Joe Specky. Joe, good morning. How are you?
I'm all right.
All right. Well, look, this poll, I guess it's fair to call it surprising. I don't know. You're in the kind of business where you're not allowed to be surprised by anything. You clearly have your finger on the pulse. But I was a little surprised at some of these numbers. What was your overall impression?
I like to think I have my finger on the pulse, but even still, there were some numbers that I would say jumped off the page.
Yeah, and including starting with the very first one that they released on Governor Evers' job approval. What did you make of that?
Wow, is what I make of that. Perhaps three-term Tony, indeed. Mm-hmm. Maybe the remarks he made, perhaps in jest, but perhaps maybe not in jest. Maybe they knew something we didn't know. The fact that he is viewed 18 points more favorably than unfavorably, he's at 57 to 39 among independents who are determinative in the state. He is viewed 60% favorably, 35% unfavorably. That is a big improvement and a real testament to the leadership that Governor Evers has shown throughout the budget process. Even though we are close to done, we're not quite done. And I think it really bodes well. Voters understand, the public understands that Tony Evers is somebody they can trust on the big ticket items.
Yeah. And to have that 57% job approval, you know, when it was 46% back in October, mm-hmm. you know, that kind of an increase. Again, that can't be, and I'm not taking anything away from the governor, but it can't all be attributed to him. It never can be. There's always other factors. The other factor in this case being when they compare him to what they're hearing from Republicans,
right?
It only helps you look good. You know,
it's the old Joe Biden line. And I know we'll get to him a little bit later, but it's what Biden always says is, don't compare me to the Almighty, compare me to the alternative. And the alternative between Governor Evers and many elements of the Republican caucus or Republican conference in the state assembly and Senate, there is a clear distinction. And so you are right that it is about that. I think it is also a function of an improving economy, people understanding that the economy and the economic recovery from the pandemic is going better here in the United States. And in fact, better here in Wisconsin than it is in a lot of places. And that's why you don't just see an uptick in Evers's approval. You also see an uptick in the mood of the electorate. Pollsters love to ask this right track, wrong track, right track, wrong direction question. And it's getting better. In March, only 34% of Wisconsinites said things were on the right track. Now, 40% of Wisconsinites think things are on the right track. And, you know, nobody is going to sit here and sing hosannas and suggest the work is done or that everything is hunky-dory. But the recognition that things are improving, that people are working, that unemployment is low, that incomes have stabilized, if not begun to grow again, inflation cooling. These are all good things that people are clearly feeling. As a result, they feel better about the state, better about their community, and in this case, better about their governor, which is great.
Well, the other thing that I think it is that we're no longer in an election season for the first time in a long time in Wisconsin. And so you don't have these political ads that are, you know, trashing one person or another, trashing the economy. You don't have the impression that there are people rooting for failure. When you take that whole box of communication off of people's TVs, mm-hmm. it's no wonder they you know, feel a little bit better as opposed to how negative they feel when you have these pulsating messages of, you know, we're, it's all doom and gloom. So this is a good time of year right now, not to it be is. Election season.
No, it's not election season. It's summertime. If it weren't for the air quality, everything would be going great. Mm-hmm. Other things I took away from the poll, consistent with that sort of slightly improving mood of the electorate, the fact that Joe Biden's standing has improved. He was viewed 41% favorably in March, now 45% favorably. That's a step in the right direction. I think that may have, as you noted, when we're talking about Governor Evers, something to do with the Republican presidential primary being more in people's face, more in the news. And that is why he is besting both Ron DeSantis and Donald Trump, although admittedly he's trouncing Donald Trump in a head-to-head and not quite trouncing Ron DeSantis. That's a function of people understand that maybe not great, things are on a better track, things are stabilizing. That is a good thing if you want to see Democrats and progressives build political power. And yeah, so I walked away from this poll feeling better about the shape of the world than I thought I might. The other one that sort of jumped off the page to me was the Trump and DeSantis head-to-head numbers in the primary.
Oh, let me go through these with folks here, because first off, if you have never heard of ranked choice voting, or it sounds complex, you might be more of a fan after this, because first they ask of all of the, you know, candidates, it's, you know, Donald Trump comes up first, 31%, then Ron DeSantis only a point behind at 30%. Then you got to go way down and get 6% for Mike Pence, 5% for Tim Scott, and 21% say they haven't decided. Okay, so Trump up by one. But when they're then told if you could only choose between Trump or DeSantis, 57% of those Republicans say they'd pick DeSantis, and only 41% say Trump.
Yeah. And it, now here's my quibble with that entire set of numbers, mm-hmm. which while they're interesting, they don't tell me a lot. And the reason for that is this is a statewide poll with a mix of Democrats, a mix of independents, and a mix of Republicans. And within especially the mix of Democrats and Republicans, that means the type of partisans who vote in primaries and the types who don't. No political party is a monolith. 100% of Democrats don't vote in Democratic primaries. 100% of Republicans don't vote in Republican primaries. So this is a skewed look at the Republican primary for president. If you wanted to do a Republican presidential primary poll in Wisconsin, you would only talk to Republicans who have voted in presidential primaries in the past. And if you did, I believe you would see a much more significant lead for Donald Trump, who retains the most support among the most partisan Republicans, who are therefore the most likely to participate in primaries. I think it is those Republicans who are maybe closer to the middle, more moderate Republicans, who it doesn't matter that it's Ron DeSantis particularly, they are just looking for an off-ramp, for an alternative to Donald Trump. And that, to me, explains why Biden bests Trump by 9 points in the head-to-head matchup in this same poll. So it's not really a fair comparison to say the scoreboard in the Republican presidential primary here is Trump 31, DeSantis 30. Just be careful with those numbers.
It's a very good point, and I if I had funny sound effects, you'd hear all the air deflating out of my balloon here. But you make great points about the poll itself. So on the Democratic side, we need to point out then that among Democrats and those who lean Democratic, Biden has 49%, mm-hmm. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. 9%, Marianne Williamson 3%, and another 39% say they are undecided. Again, with the usual disclaimer, it is way too early for this kind of stuff. I don't know if I want to ask you more about the people who say they're undecided, or who in their right minds is supporting either Robert Kennedy Jr. or Marianne Williamson, but that's my personal opinion.
I think the 39% are just a little bit more polite than the 12% who are splitting between those two non-factors in mm-hmm. in the race. Neither Kennedy nor Williamson is going to be the Democratic standard bearer. Listen, there are people, and again, it's the same thing, where you've got some Democrats who are not big partisans, who don't vote in primaries typically, and you're kind of asking them an unfair question of if they had a vote in the nominating process. And I think it's understandable that there's a decent number of them who say, boy, Joe Biden's doing a fine job. That's why his approval's up. Boy, the state of the world is better than it was, especially under the last guy. And they have concerns about his age and are interested in whether there might be an alternative. That's okay. They're allowed to think that. And I believe that once the chips are down and the stakes are set and the matchup is Biden versus going back to Trump or Ron DeSantis or fill in the blank Republican nominee as you wish, then those folks will, as we call it in politics, come back home. They will understand the stakes of the race, and they will be just fine and feel very confident in voting for another 4 years for Joe Biden.
Now that I've picked on the people who are supporting, you know, shall we say, the fringe candidates on the Democratic side, let me do the same on the Republican side and note that among Republicans and Republican leaners, former Milwaukee County Sheriff David Clark, a cartoon character, if ever there were one, still draws a 48% favorable rating. And I'm rooting for him to be the nominee up against Tammy Baldwin. I know, careful what you wish for. But I still think this indicates there are a lot of people that really don't know David Clark yet.
Yeah, correct. He's been out of office for quite some time. This is a guy who, despite the fact he is a conservative, ultra MAGA, Donald Trump loving Republican, ran as a Democrat. You know, we've sometimes heard this term fake Democrats. Mm-hmm. Running for, I mean, this was the definition of a fake Democrat. And there are a lot of people who don't consume news every day, and they see, you know, they think about who they're going to vote for the 5 minutes before they walk into the booth. And so that number, I don't think means much. Nobody has spent a dime for or against David Clark in years. If he were the nominee, those numbers would come crashing down to earth very quickly.
Yes. I'm going to read directly from the law poll posts when it comes to the issue of abortion, saying that there have been modest changes in views since the Dobbs decision, quote, with a slight increase in percent saying all abortions should be legal and a slight decline in percent saying all abortions should be illegal. Again, in my mind, not a real big surprise, but it is a degree of affirmation, if you will, to see it reflected in these numbers.
It is. And we should do the forever true caveat. All polls are just a snapshot of a moment in time.
Right.
Where you see the trend lines, though, and particularly on this question of abortion, this is consistent with polling we're seeing in other states, with national polling, that since the Dobbs decision, there has been a real, consistent, and notable shift in people's opinions and perspectives about access to reproductive healthcare. And so it is just one poll, but the fact that it's another data point that says the same thing that the last 20 polls I've seen, it says the same thing. When the poll keeps spitting out the same information, you can say, this is real. People's views have changed. And it's because of stories and seeing the cost, the human toll, and how scary it is for women right now and for those trying to start families, because of the Dobbs decision, courtesy of Donald Trump and a conservative majority on the Supreme Court.
So there you have most of the poll, and you can, of course, find it online. And, you know, there'll be much to talk about, as we always do, you know, until the next one. And so with the final minute or so that we've got, and I know we'll do much more about this next week, but, you know, we've been asking it all week. It's more of a parlor game than anything else. But depending on the final product of the state budget, if it does not change substantially and it has this Foxconn-esque tax cut plan in it, and it has, you know, a spending cut for the UW system, I think I asked last week whether you think he would veto it or not. Would you suggest he veto it or not? I would ask instead, what will he do? Do you think he actually would veto a budget bill that looks the way that it looked coming out of joint finance?
I don't know enough about the particulars of what the final out of joint finance looked like. We know what some of the top lines are. Mm-hmm. I've not gone through the budget line by line. Here's what I will say. I trust Tony Evers to make the right decision for the people of Wisconsin, for our kids, for our families. If the legislature sends him an untenable budget that simply does not work for the people of Wisconsin, he will veto it, and he should. If he has sent a budget that has some wins for Democrats, has some wins for Republicans, that the people of Wisconsin can live with and we can sort of maintain the progress that we're making, I think he will find a way to sign it through use of line item vetoes. The governor of Wisconsin is a very powerful position. It's a little bit less powerful than it used to be. I don't have to tell you that. Mm-hmm. But there are ways to make good enough a little bit better. And if there's an opportunity for that, I think that's what the governor will do. But make no mistake, if this budget misses too many opportunities and is not right for the people of Wisconsin, he will veto it. And so that's what we're going to find out in the next 24 hours or so, is what does that final product look like?
All right. Joseph Pecky, thanks so much. Have a great holiday weekend.
You too. Happy 4th.
Back with a history lesson and a music break next. You're up north.
The law firm of Gingras Thompson & Wachs has a track record of making life-changing, positive differences for their clients. $5.25 million to a woman who suffered brain injuries and her husband passed away when struck by a drunk driver. $1 million to three different individuals injured by drunk drivers. $1 million settlement to a man injured in a motorcycle accident. Call Gingras Thompson & Wachs, 855-954-1186.
Calling to win, Gingras Thompson & Wachs, GTWLawyers.com.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
What is the grand prize? Is it a fabulous cash prize?
You definitely get to take home the cheese. I know
would
that.
I hope so. Humans aren't necessarily logical creatures. Maybe it is.
Thrill seeking.
It's the thrill of the cheese and the bragging rights.
The first person across the line wins and gets to keep the cheese.
And that's it.
And I think that's it.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station.
Tired of hearing only one side of the story? Do you want news and information from people who, like you, know what it's like to work hard every day and still struggle to make ends meet? Then tune in to The Rick Smith Show every weeknight from 8 to 10 p.m. right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Be part of the conversation. Tune in, turn on, and take back the American dream. The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.
Chance for scattered thunderstorms again tonight. Lows level off around.
Dr. Kristen Lyerly coming up at 7:30. Guest is Dr. Amy Kalkbrenner, an air pollution researcher at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee, and they will be talking about how unhealthy air isn't always this visible. But Dr. Lyerly joins us a little bit early now. So, Calvin, with your permission, would you bring that music back up so we can start the music segment here? On this day in 1984, after a failed attempt shooting a studio video for Dancing in the Dark, Bruce Springsteen does it live in concert at the St. Paul Civic Center. And it was during Clarence Clemens' sax solo that he brought a young Kristen Lyerly up on stage. Then, having discovered that she dances like a white girl from Kaukauna, she was ushered off stage, and a 19-year-old Courtney Cox was brought up on stage to dance with him, and the rest was music video history. Good morning, Dr. Lyerly.
Good morning, Mr. Brightlow. How are you?
Well, a lot better now that I could finally tell that historical chestnut that a lot of people thought was lost to MTV history.
Yeah, little known fact.
Yeah, you were not there. I remember the Springsteen concert. I wasn't there, but I remember it was a big deal that he was playing there. And then when you see this video show up, a couple months later or so, that was pretty cool. And everybody was like, "Who's that girl?" And now, everybody knows Courtney Cox.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, that was a big deal.
Hey, I should bring these cameras up here. Sorry, I was so caught up in telling the story, I left the wrong graphic up on screen. Kristen, say hi to Calvin.
Hey, Calvin, what's shaking?
Not much, Dr. Lyerly. Nice to meet you.
Good to meet you, too.
So I forget what was Aaron doing today? Is he moving now? Is this moving day for him? Because he was moving. Chad was moving. Todd, everybody's moving, it seems, except us old people, Kristen. Was he's moving, right? Calvin has no idea.
Yes, Aaron is moving.
He just knows he was summoned to come in here. Okay. Anyway, we're glad you're here. Feel free to jump in if you also want to add any musical history nuggets, like wherever you were in 1962 when the number one song was this by the Contours. And that's where Calvin would play "Do You Love Me?" And
sure. Do you love me?
Yeah, that'll work. It sounds just like the Contours there. You broke my heart. Hey, there we go.
'Cause I couldn't dance. You didn't even want me around. And now I'm back to let you know I can really shake them down.
Dance break.
Do you love me? I can really move. Do you love me? I'm in the groove. Do you love me?
It was on the date in 2007. The iPhone was released, integrating music into a phone for the first time. You remember what a game changer that was? Wait, what?
I remember going to the game where we had a radio, and then we had a Walkman. That was a game changer. And then there was a massive, and then we had a radio. And then we had a MP3 player, and
starting to take off. There were all these different brands. And then suddenly the iPhone came along and everybody was like, what are these? I still have an old MP3 player, which I thought was so great at the time, but now it's on your phone.
My boyfriend at the time was a Microsoft fan. He got me a Zune.
Oh, the Zune. Poor Microsoft. All right, let's do another birthday. The frontman for Men at Work, Colin Hay, is 70 years old today.
This time. He pulled this one out of
the... He's got a nice acoustic version of it too, though. I can get you sleep. Now, we won't play this all the way through because, you know, at the end, he hits that really high. I can't get that stuff. Even he can't do that anymore.
I actually added this to my playlist when I was in Chippewa. Especially at
night. He had this great guest appearance on Scrubs. Remember the sitcom? You had to be a Scrubs fan. Back then. Really?
I have kids, man.
But it's just so, it was such a great comedic take on Residence. Highly recommend it. Actor Gary Busey is 79 today. Fred Grandy, Gopher from The Love Boat, and a former congressman, is 75. That doesn't help me feel any younger, does it?
No.
Nicole Scherzinger of the Pussycat Dolls, 45. And Colin Jost from SNL, married to Scarlett Johansson. Colin Jost is 41 years old today. And one more tune for you. It was on this day in 1966 that Neil Diamond made his TV debut, performing this hit on American Bandstand. Baby, love me, yes, yes, she does. And while Cherry Cherry plays in the background, I'll tell you that on this day in 1956, the Federal Aid Highway Act was signed by President Eisenhower, officially creating the U.S. Interstate Highway System. So all those I's that you have in your life, I-94 and I-794 and 494 and 91-5. I'm just saying random numbers at this point.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Did you realize, think about how they're numbered?
I was just going to say, I was going to suggest a video. There is a great video out there that explains the numbering system for the interstates. But I'm guessing you have another thing to tell us about it?
Or? No, just, you know, thinking about how if they run north and south. And
yep. And we can bring Neil out and send Neil Diamond on his way now as we talk a bit more about that. No, there's a couple of good videos that, you know, again, use animation and talk about how the, you know, the old U.S. highways, you know, with the black and white signs. Mm-hmm. Of course, the famous one is, you know, Route 1 that goes down the east coast. So they started from the other end. So, you know, Interstate 1 is over on the west coast, and then they worked their way from west to east, the odd numbers for north and south, and the even ones for east to west. Hey, Bruce, you're back too early. Go away. Hang out in the wings over there. I tell you, these rock stars. So there's a good video on that. Now, before I forget, Brewers tickets around this time tomorrow. We're going to do a 4-pack of tickets to Monday's game against the Chicago Cubs. Kristen, what are you going to be? You're working for the holiday weekend. And those darn doctors and their crazy working hours.
Yeah, I mean, somebody's got to do it. So.
Yeah, those babies, you know, they don't birth themselves. I mean. Mm.
Well, they could.
They could, but yeah, it was a lot more dangerous back in the day.
That's always a good idea to have a trained assistant there with you.
Yeah, that would work out. Tell us about Hometown Health coming up next hour.
Oh, I'm so excited about Hometown Health because I think we all right now are living and trying to breathe in this crazy, smoky environment. So we're going to talk more with a local treasure, Dr. Amy Kalkbrenner, and she's going to help us understand what the risks are and what's safe for us right now.
All right. We'll look forward to that at 7:30. Kristen's going to hang around. We're going to take a break for news and get your local weather forecast in as well. And then we'll come back and talk more about headlines before Hometown Health, Mark Jacob Yet, and Dan Schumacher. All ahead on this Friday, you're up north.